Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. Yes.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Well, Joe Biden is in Scranton, Pennsylvania today, the must-win state of Scranton, while the city of New York forces former and future President Donald Trump to sit in a courtroom. Completely unfair that he's not on the campaign trail. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. But I'm very excited to welcome to the show a man who's been a senior advisor to President Trump all the way back to 2016, Bruce Lavelle. Hey, Bruce, thank you for joining me in Philadelphia, my friend. How are you doing?
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's good to be back on again. It's been a long time.
It has been a long time. You got to come on more often. I love having you on.
I know. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
It's just outrageous, isn't it? The judge forcing Trump to be in court while Joe Biden gets the campaign in his fake hometown of Scranton.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. I was on Newsmax today, and I had to remind, and just for the listeners here also, how we got here. Remember, we're here because of Michael Cohen, okay, the so-called Trump Organization attorney for 12 years. You know, I knew Michael, and I told one of my other Trump friends, I said, listen, I'm gonna come back and start talking about this conversation, you know, having this conversation about how we got here and where this came from. And just for how we got here is the fact of Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen was a very thirsty, very anxious, thirsty man, always trying to insert himself in every kind of situation. I remember back in 16, he was a pain in the butt towards the campaign, towards everyone. And he had this real Napoleon spirit of wanting to just, you know, be the fixer for everything and all this other stuff. And so, and what happened was, what he did is that he actually, found a way where he could be relevant. And saying, hey, this lady's claiming that she's been with you and this and that. She's a porn star, blah, blah, blah. But I can take care of it. And he did it that way so he could have a place of being like, I'm the savior. I'm the.
Right.
And there's one other high-level Trump person that went out and articulated this on Fox News is Kellyanne Conway. This is true. And I can put many more people, Rich, on your show that will say the same thing. He was always looking for attention. He was always trying to insert himself in every position you could possibly imagine. So he figured by running this spin, he could be the savior of the campaign. And then, so when he went out there and start leveraging his level of, access to President Trump, he tried to do side deals with pharmaceutical firms, et cetera. So when he was taking this money with promises to access, remember this IRS that came in and got him on tax evasion. Mm-hmm. Remember this. So he went to jail, or he was being indicted. So he turned looking for help. So President Trump is like, well, wait a minute. You were hired to be the attorney, not to do side deals. So by him wanting someone to interject to help and save him because of his dirty dealings, Then he turned and started coming up with all of this craziness about Trump's doing this or he's doing that. And this is why we're here, ladies and gentlemen. That's why I always have to remind people in this case right now, why we're here dealing with this right now is because it's Michael Cohen. Because remember, Alvin Bragg and this in the New York prosecuting office, their key witness is Michael Cohen, who lied under Congress. So I have to remind everyone how we got here. And that's the culprit, unfortunately. And they're willing to run the game all the way based on this person's testimony, this convicted felon, this person that went to jail, cried like a baby, oh, it's COVID, got released early, who was caught lying, cheating, and stealing on his taxes, caught red-handed, and was caught trying to do side deals illegally is why he got there. So I just want to bring that back into perspective, Rich. Thanks for having me.
No, Bruce, I'm glad you did, because I, you know, my impression when I met him back in 2015 at Trump Tower was he was arrogant and an arrogant scumbag. And I have no respect for the man. He's such a liar and he's such a grandstander and a self-promoter. And the fact that the media loves him. Remember that one time he said, I would take a bullet for that man, Donald Trump. And now he's put Trump in this position because of his lies. Yep. And he's the big hero who's coming in, this admitted liar to come in and save the day for the left to try to get him off the campaign trail. Because, Bruce, they're terrified. They see the support that Trump's getting among Hispanic voters, among black voters. They're terrified. They don't know what to do other than try to stop him by putting him in jail.
Let me put it in this perspective. You've probably seen the news cycle as it relates to a lot of black culture leaning towards President Trump. Listen, I'm in Atlanta, man, okay? My uncles and aunts are from the civil rights side. My mother's side is from the more radical side. That's an interesting dichotomy. But where I'm going with this, being in the South, in Atlanta, third generation Georgian here, I understand what my dad used to say and grandparents said about the dual justice system, how blacks were treated in the South towards, quote, a dual justice system. Now, obviously, black America and black culture is seeing this play out before a former president. And they're like, wait a minute, I identify with that. And I'm not just saying that's the sole reason why black culture is leaning towards that, but that's a significant amount of why. Not to mention, you know, fighting for low taxes and et cetera, you know, their checkbooks. I get that. But this right here is one of the main reasons of the push. I wouldn't have liked to get it on these terms. I would have liked to gained the terms on, look at your roads, look at your schools, look at your community. Why do you keep voting this way for 30, 40, 50, 60 years? What the hell do you have to lose? Give us a chance. Remember that infamous comment?
Yep.
So that's what I would like to gain it. I wouldn't, obviously I wouldn't want to gain more black votes on this particular system, but I guess if that's what it's meant to be, then oh well. But you're absolutely right to your point. The traditional, you're in this box, black culture, vote this way, this is what it is. A lot of black Americans are waking up saying, wait a minute, something's not right here. So it doesn't look good, obviously, if he can't make Barron's, graduation. But I will tell you this, President Trump believes in the law. And as bad and dishonest as it is, he always tries to stand what the law says and defend it by any means necessary through the legal channels. Instead of what they're wanting him to do is to defy all of these particular orders or these particular that are on the books of the law. Remember, a lot of the things like the gag orders and everything else comes from a judgment discretion call on the judge's bench. It's not in law. That's why a lot of times he appeals this, and depending on the right court, it gets like favored for him.
Yeah.
Because these are judgment discretion calls on the judge's bench, not what's written in law. And that's the thing. He wants to be the example of the law. We're a nation of laws. So what that does is like challenges our state reps, and and all your listeners here, listen. The America First movement starts from the local elections, your county commission, your city council, your state rep, your state senate, your school board. Watch this one, Rich. Your probate, superior court, DA's office. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone listening, please pay attention to the local elections. The governor's race and the president race that has a lot of the the ice cream on the top, but it's actually the things that affect us day to day are critical on zoning, on compliances, on taxations where the millage rates gets raised or where the sales tax gets raised in your communities for all the retail business owners out there, which affects our bottom line and our balance sheet. These are the things that it's critical that we pay attention to. And for God's sake, if that person is not tied to any special interest group and they're a prominent business person or someone in that community that won't take the special interest money, please look at them first. They might not be the best speaker, the best dress, but those are the folks that we're trying to recruit on this great America First movement.
Bruce Lavelle, I think your point on black culture seeing Trump being targeted by the Justice Department is an important one. And I think you're right. And remember, you know, when Trump was in the White House, he did criminal justice reform. That was something he was very proud of. And he also commuted the sentences of people who, look, they were on the wrong end of that Clinton crime bill. You know, that when Hillary Clinton called people who were black super predators and put them away, disproportionate sentencing. And I don't think that should be glossed over by anyone in this country. Donald Trump cares about fairness of justice. And he got criminal justice reform done. Now he's the target of a justice system that is going after him for who he is, not what he did, but who he is. So I think, Bruce Lavelle, you're exactly right about why people recognize that. It's why you've seen, you know, rap artists put his mugshot as a tattoo on them. It's why now it's that mugshot has become kind of like the anti-hero cultural thing. He's punk rock and kids are putting that in their rooms. I mean, there's something to that. And you think the left would wake up, right, Bruce? You think the left would wake up and go, every time we do this, we just make the guy a political martyr. And now they're threatening to put him in jail again. They don't learn.
No. And, you know, respectfully, just for your listeners, I go back. My first political gig was working for Reagan in high school. This is how far I go back. A volunteer in high school. And, of course, I worked for George H. I worked for W. twice, Bob Dole. And, of course, we helped Romney when he was the nominee against Obama. And, of course, President Trump. But what I did notice over the years, and more so it became very, very crystal clear getting on the movement with President Trump in 2015, was I started to see how pay to play really affected our congressional people as well as our Senate, and even all the way down through local elections. And the reason why I was able to identify that aggressively is because of what happened in 2008 with the financial crash and all the bank lobbyists pushing the local Congress people to allow the TARP money to come in, and they take money and they push people off the books and use the bailout money to buy land and buildings. I call it the biggest steal in America's history. So digging through that and asking your local congressman or senator that challenged that, and they say, well, I'm sorry, I can't help you. But then I start looking at the FEC filings and look how heavy leverage the bank lobbyists had such significant impact and leverage on our local congresspeople. And Senator's like, wait a minute. And then I dug deeper and deeper and deeper. Oh, my God, this has been going on for decades on both sides of the aisle. So when you hear the word swamp, I'm like, okay, you think of a swamp. You know, I know about Louisiana swamps and et cetera. I've been world-traveled, and you think that's something you wade through it. But you step in this swamp, if you don't have a life preserver, you know, Rich, you almost drown because it's that deep. Mm-hmm. But we didn't realize how deep it was. And this is for both sides of the aisle. And that's why you see such tension in the U.S. Congress now, because you have a new group of youngsters that's come through that carry the America First flag, which is Anina Paulina down in Florida, Byron Donalds, you know, these new, whether you like Marjorie or not, you know, these are these new vocal America First elected people that's come through in the last few years trying to get old elected officials to act as America First. So this is where you're seeing this. So this is I call it the Great Reformation. And ladies and gentlemen, this is history being made in itself. This is an era of this great America movement that you're watching play out right in front of you. And a lot of people, it's moving so fast, they forget how big this truly is and what's going on. You have someone that says, enough's enough. I'm here for the people, by the people, we the people, No, I can't be influenced by special interests. No, I won't take pay to play. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the most profound. That is who you want representing you in your local community. Someone that won't take a bribe. Someone that won't be controlled by a group of bundlers, Rich, that want to control you on your zoning or your laws. That's what this movement's about. It's interrupting the money stream.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that the left is part of, and some on the right, ladies and gentlemen,
yep,
that don't want someone to come in and do the will of we the people by the people.
Well said. Well said. Follow Bruce on X at Bruce_Lavelle, L-E-V-E-L-L. Pleasure to have you, my friend. Come back a lot between now and November because we got to win Pennsylvania, and your voice is one of the most important ones, all right?
I appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
All right, Bruce. Thanks, buddy.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, good. So this is the big story of the day, by the way. It's the trial and that scumbag Michael Cohen, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. All right. The other part about this, too, which I meant to ask Bruce about, but, you know, I just kind of ran out of time. But the concept of hush money, you know, this idea of hush money, there's really no such thing as hush money. And that's another part of this. You know, it's very salacious for the media to go about and say hush money. But Bruce made a great point on Twitter when he said, you know, for the record, there's no such thing as hush money. Donald Trump hush money case. It's not a real concept. If you want to argue it's a public relations move, if you want to argue it's all those things, but the hushing of someone, I mean, the only question you have to ask is why is it legal for them to demand money from you to keep quiet? I mean, you know, that would be a good question. Why is it legal for somebody to say, you got to pay me or I'm going to go out there and make an allegation about you? I mean, in some ways, that's extortion. And you could make that argument. And in a fair justice system, you could argue that Stormy Daniels should be on trial right now for trying to extort Donald Trump. But I digress. All right, listen, we got to talk about a lot of things. We have some other great guests coming up, too, on the show today. We have Andy McCarthy at 4:30. He's going to talk about this case, the Alvin Bragg case. And we got Dr. Victoria Coates at 5, the latest on Israel and Iran and everything that's going on over there. But I got to tell you, my friends at Natural Lawn of America are going to give you what you need, which is that beautiful, thick, green, lush lawn that is the envy of the neighborhood. And when it comes to your home, you want to have that beautiful lawn. You really do. And you want fewer weeds and you want greener grass and you want it to be guaranteed. And that's what Natural Lawn delivers for you. And what I love about them is everything about their process ensures that it's tailored to your lawn. See, Natural Lawn of America doesn't operate like a cookie cutter lawn company where they just come in and spray everybody's lawn the same. No. Their method, which they've been doing for 35 years, results in greener lawns with fewer weeds guaranteed because their certified specialists will tailor their treatments to your lawn's specific needs. And this environmentally friendly approach reduces the need for chemicals and creates a safer lawn for your family and pets. Natural Lawn is locally owned and family operated in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And you know that's incredibly important to me. They are competitively priced and have a satisfaction guarantee. Now, I trust the leader in organic-based lawn care, and you should too. So give them a call today. New customers can take advantage of Natural Lawn's unbeatable offer, but you got to act now because it expires at the end of the month. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program, and they will seed your lawn every year free of charge. Call 1-800-FREE-SEED, 1-800-FREE-SEED, or visit naturallawn.com to learn more. Choose the lawn care company that I've trusted, Natural Lawn of America, greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
On your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, so we are loaded up today, and I'm with you till 9 o'clock tonight as I fill in for the great one, Mark Levin, tonight. So we'll take Mark's first hour live at 6 p.m. and go right up to 9 p.m. Believe me, those national shows fly by because they have a different clock than we use here on the local level, and I can't go on my long windbag rants and mess it up. I have actually hard breaks, so I have to be restrained. You'd love producing a show like that, guys, because you'd actually have to keep me to a clock.
Hey, don't
or it just cuts off.
Don't let me in with Henry. No. I don't care when you go to break.
I would love to cut you off.
I know
for
you
hard
would.
Break.
I know you would. And I would. I get cut. They go 30 seconds, 20, 10 seconds. And I go, all right. And you got to, otherwise, you know, because it's those are national shows, so. But anyway, they're fun. They fly by like that, whereas this show tends to drag on and on and on. I'm just kidding. With this level of energy, please.
Henry would be great at that job. He's usually in here screaming.
Yeah, he would be yelling at me in my ear. 1 minute, 30 seconds, 20, 10 seconds. Get out.
I know you missed the exit time. I guess it was last week. He was so angry for like 30 seconds. Yeah. But also, I sort of felt like he enjoyed being able to scream a little bit.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's cathartic, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And did you see the glare he gave me? I'm still in therapy over it. Remember, if you've been glared at, please reach out to us. And the glare... Society of America will take care of you. We exist to be supporters. And tell us your glare story when you were glared at.
I mean,
you overcame that glare.
There is no worse feeling than getting glared at by me after missing a live read or a break.
No. I for one, was telling my psychoanalyst about it today. And he said, does it remind you of Mama Zioli glaring at you as a small child? And I said, yes. That's why the damage is so real. My car tweeted out as we do our social media check-in, courtesy of Cherry Hill Volvo at Blessed One. He says, Rich, I'm a glare victim. So hard to forget. The pain comes back so easily and so often. I went to buy glasses and they asked me if I wanted anti-glare lenses. I screamed, it's a little too late for that. The damage is done. One more time, if we could, Maggie Haberman talking about her glare experience and how painful that was for her. Getting glared at, if you could, Matt DeSantis, for me. I'd appreciate that.
You were actually in the room for that. At one point, the pool said that he was glaring at you for several seconds. You had reported shortly before that during a break that he appeared to be falling asleep at one point as the proceedings were getting kind of tedious. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, I noticed it. He made a pretty specific stare at me and walked out of the room.
I've been on the receiving end of said glares.
I know you have. I have too.
Yeah, and I forget. I mean, that's the thing. It sticks with you for life. Jim O'Connell says, Henry should let Maggie borrow his eclipse glasses for the trial. Hashtag block the glare. Block the glare. I like that. It's very, very important to do that. So thank you for your tweets. I appreciate it because we want to just be there for you and help you through your trauma. You're a survivor if you've been glared at.
The most ridiculous part of that clip isn't even Maggie Haberman like complaining that she was glared at. It was the fact that Caitlin Collins had to jump in and be like, I was the victim of glaring too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I know you're I'm with you. I know you're hurt. I feel your hurt. I've been there too. It's like, I have the courage to stand up and say, hi, my name's Rich. Hi, Rich. I'm a glare victim. Thank you for your courage coming forward. It's not easy in this day and age. All right. The big story of the day brought to you by my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. We are just loaded up. We got a ton of stuff to talk about today, and we got a long way to go and a short time to get there. But Dr. Mike is always our great friend, and he will give you the smile of your dreams by going to VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. Julie Kelly was on with Clay and Buck today on their nationally syndicated show. I think she put it in context of what the Supreme Court is dealing with today. We've had Julie on the show. We'll try to get her on the show tomorrow, actually, to chat a little bit about this. But the Supreme Court is hearing is the constitutionality of prosecuting people for their January 6th, quote unquote, offenses using Sarbanes-Oxley, essentially as the impetus to this. This is what she said is at stake here. Take a listen. You have that
Fisher
one,
v. United States. Supreme Court heard oral arguments today. Before we get into where you think the judges are going, can you just give us background as to what's at issue here and why it's such a big deal, not just for Trump, but for a lot of J6 defendants?
Right. So this relates to the government's use, DOJ's use of 1512C2, obstruction of an official proceeding statute. This was passed in the wake aftermath of the Enron Arthur Anderson scandal. It has to do with evidence tampering or document shredding, as we saw in that case. What the DOJ has done for the first time ever is weaponize that statute to criminalize political dissent and charge now roughly 350 January 6 protesters with this felony offense, punishable by up to 20 years in prison. It finally, 3 years later, has made it to the Supreme Court. And oral arguments, Joseph Fisher was one of these defendants charged. The district court judge, Carl Nichols, is the only one who dismissed this count against him. And the DOJ appealed that, which is how now we got to the Supreme Court oral arguments today.
All right. We have to talk about that. And we also have to talk about, of course, the Alvin Bragg trial in New York City. And thankfully, we have one of the sharpest legal minds out there, Andrew C. McCarthy, senior fellow at National Review and former assistant United States attorney for the Southern District of New York, author of the book Ball of Collusion, The Plot to Rig an Election and Destroy a Presidency. Hello, Andy. How are you, my friend?
Rich, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to have you on because there's so much to talk about. You had a great point about this trial in New York. You said not only does Alvin Bragg not have jurisdiction to prosecute this case, he's actually invented his own federal election crime here.
Yeah, the thing with this is, Rich, it's not just a question of whether he has jurisdiction, although that ought to be a big deal here. But, you know, when a state prosecutor tries to enforce federal law, it's the president who has the authority to enforce federal law. So he's basically usurping the authority of the president. Of course, this Justice Department isn't complaining about that. But the other thing is, we want the federal election laws uniformly enforced across the country, which is why Congress, in addition to having the Justice Department enforce them, created the Federal Election Commission to make sure that the standards are similar across the board so that you don't get things like, you know, President Obama's campaign commits a $2 million campaign finance violation, and they let him skate with a $300,000 fine. But Donald Trump allegedly, according to this prosecutor, commits a $130,000 violation and gets hit with 34 felony counts. So, you know, we want to have uniform enforcement across the board. And both the FEC and the Justice Department looked at this in connection with Trump, including under the Biden Justice Department, and they didn't pull the trigger and prosecute because it's simply not a campaign expenditure as a matter of law. And the other thing about this is Bragg's factual theory is moronic. What he's basically saying is that Trump by this phantom campaign violation that the feds decided not to prosecute, stole the 2016 election by suppressing information that should have come out. But even if he was right that it was a campaign finance expenditure, which it's not, the next reporting period after the Stormy Daniels payment would have been like March 2017. So nothing would have been revealed prior to the election anyhow.
That's a great point. And in addition to that, Donald Trump lost New York. So where are the victims? Who are the victims in this case? I mean, it wasn't like the people of New York were duped and voted for him and he won the state. So who's a victim in this case?
Democrats across America. And my favorite part of this is that what we've constantly heard, and look, I've complained about this myself because I think it's just it's wrong politically. It's wrong in a bunch of different ways. But I would rather we had an election where we weren't harping on the 2020 election, which Trump won't let go. But, you know, you could understand where he's coming from when you realize that the theory of this prosecution is that Trump stole the 2016 election.
Right.
So while Democrats are, you know, forever condemning Trump because he won't let 2020 go, here we are in 2024 and they want to relitigate 2016.
Such a great point. It's such a great point. And you know, there's nothing in the Constitution that requires presidential candidates to reveal allegations of extramarital affairs. That's number one. In order to run for president, there's no ELEC requirement that you have to, federal election law requirement that you have to reveal that. And the voters, knowing Trump, may not have cared if the allegation had come forward, because given Trump's been married three times, they probably would not have really cared about it. So Alvin Bragg is going on such a stretch here to imply that had the truth come out, he would have lost the election. It's so absurd. You can't prove it. But I guess that's the point, right? I mean, Alvin Bragg should only be dealing with New York State. Instead, now, as a district attorney for New York City, he's now elevated himself to being the magistrate over the entire country's election results, when the people of his city and the people of the state, which gives him the legal authority, didn't choose Trump anyway. I just don't understand at what point someone says, man, you got to stay in your lane here, Alvin Bragg.
Yeah, well, not only that, Rich, if he's right, and everything you just said in marshaling his argument about the federal election laws is true, but if he's right, so if we now have Alvin Bragg law of federal elections rather than FEC and Justice Department and federal law, if you want to pay off your porn star mistress, feel free to use campaign funds. Because according to Alvin Bragg, it's a campaign expenditure. So,
yeah.
You know, you wonder why the FEC and the Justice Department said, no, I don't think we're going to, even the Biden Justice Department, which, I mean, look at the cases that the Biden Justice Department, well, I think the Florida case is a significant case, but look at the Washington case where they had to stretch, obstruction law, civil rights law, fraud law to try to get Trump on January 6th. So it's not like the Biden Justice Department was intimidated or reluctant to bring a dodgy legal theory against Trump. But even they looked at this and said, no, we're not doing it.
That's such a good point. And then, you know, to think, too, about Alvin Bragg law, you know, as just a thing that people would have to learn about. I worked on campaigns a lot till I got into radio. I mean, that was my career. And I remember filling out a lot of those election reports, and you had to itemize things like if you bought donuts for the volunteers, if you paid for door knockers, if you paid for mail pieces and TV ads. I just don't remember the form ever having a box to check off hush money to a porn star. And we're going to have to add that now, Andy. You know, we're going to have to add that on there to just make it easier for the campaign treasurers.
Rich, as your lawyer, though, I'm going to ask you to stop talking about this, because we now know that, like, the statute of limitations on this could be 7 years, could be 8 years. Who knows, you know?
It's an excellent point. I mean, this is a guy who Alvin Bragg amazes me. He has taken so many felonies and dropped them down to misdemeanors. With this, he's taken a misdemeanor, given rise to as a felony, and then by doing so, then extended the statute of limitations. Everything about this is infuriating. And the other part of this is infuriating to me.
34 felonies.
Yeah, of the same thing, though. It's one thing 34 right. times, as you've pointed out.
Yeah, no, I think that's exact. Yeah, the thing is, I wonder if, like, if Trump had one of those hyphenated last names, you know, like Donald Trump Smith, would he have added an extra count for Smith? Because it looks like every stroke of the pen, whether it was on the invoice or the book entry or the check, he added another count.
Yeah.
Even though this is one transaction, this is one activity. And in all seriousness, in the Justice Department, there's a manual that admonishes federal prosecutors, don't do this kind of thing. Because the reason you stack counts like this is to convey to the jury the not-so-subtle message that this guy must be like Osama bin Laden, because why would the government hit him with 34 charges? You know, the normal case, you know, you bring, if it's appropriate, you bring three or four charges. If it's a multi-defendant case, you might end up with a bunch of charges. But ordinarily, you don't take one single transaction and split it into 34 parts. That's exactly what the Justice Department manual tells you not to do. But obviously, you know, we have a guy who's enforcing federal law but not following federal policy, that's for sure.
And I know this is a philosophical argument, but I mean, the fact that I'm in Philadelphia right now talking to you, Andy McCarthy, Joe Biden's in his fake hometown of Scranton, PA, campaigning, and Donald Trump's sitting in a New York City courtroom, and he's not able to be on the campaign trail. And I have a real right. problem with that, as he is the de facto Republican nominee for president of the United States. And these gag orders, too, the fact that he's not allowed to speak out and go after the government, which is prosecuting him, as a candidate for president where he needs to explain to the voters his side of the story. I just think this is so fundamentally unfair to do to the chief rival of the president of the United States of America.
Yeah. So this is one of my hobby horses since all this started, because I don't believe anybody's above the law. I mean, I believe that, like, if you have serious crimes that get committed, anybody can be prosecuted, including a president or a former president. But that said, in this republic, our rights don't exist in a vacuum, right? Every right that we have competes with every other right, and no right is absolute, and no government interest is absolute. And that's a long-winded way of saying, where do these courts get off saying that the administration of justice in their little trials is a more important constitutional interest than the public interest in robust debate in connection with a presidential campaign and the American public's interest in deciding the election at the ballot box rather than the courtroom? These judges have acted like they don't have to make a single accommodation, that there's nothing in life that's more important than the administration of justice. And the truth of the matter is, Rich, if that was true, it would be very easy to fully accommodate the administration of justice. All you would need to do is postpone the trials until after the election. Then you could have the election, and then the judges could bring Trump in, and if they wanted to gag him and treat him like an ordinary defendant who wasn't, you know, in the middle of a presidential campaign, they could do that. But they think that they can both use the election day calendar, the campaign calendar, to peg when they have their trials, which is completely inappropriate to do. The court systems and the Justice Department and the prosecutors are not supposed to take electoral politics into account. They're scheduling everything in accordance with the campaign, and they're saying everything about the campaign has to give way to the all-important, almighty interest of the administration of justice. It's people should be really angry about this, but it's Trump, so they don't get angry.
That's such a great point, Andy McCarthy. In a republic where our rights compete against other rights, I mean, for this court to say, we trump everything here, no pun intended. It's such an excellent point. All right, I want to shift gears real quick. I know you just wrote a piece on the Supreme Court justices hearing today, the government's use of Sarbanes-Oxley to prosecute January 6th. I thought Justice Gorsuch had an excellent point on this by bringing up, obviously, Jamal Bowman pulling the fire alarm. Right. Justice Clarence Thomas also asking the question about why protesters on the left have not been charged with this. But I mean, really, just 30,000 foot view. People are hearing this going, this is something that came out of a financial crime. How is this being applied to people that were protesting on January 6th?
So Here's basically what it is in a nutshell. The statute that we're talking about, you're quite right, was put in connection with Sarbanes-Oxley to fix a problem in the law, in law enforcement, which was that you could go after people who caused others to shred documents, but you couldn't prosecute people who shredded documents themselves, which was an anomaly in the law. So in order to fix that, there's a statute that says if you corruptly alter, destroy, mutilate, or conceal documents, records, et cetera. So you're talking about spoliation of evidence, as we say in the criminal law biz, right? So to fill that hole, or to fill that lacuna that didn't allow you to prosecute people who should be prosecuted, Congress in Sarbanes-Oxley adds basically a catch-all that basically says, or otherwise obstructs, influences, or impedes. So the thing is, do you read that language, otherwise obstructs, do you read it with an eye toward what goes before it, which talks about the spoliation of evidence, you know, the destruction or mutilation of documents? Or do you read it as a standalone where you say otherwise obstructs, influences, or impedes? And the Justice Department wants to read it as a standalone because then they can say any activity that we can imagine that would influence or impede a proceeding is something that we can prosecute. And that doesn't have any limiting principle at all. And what the Capitol riot people are arguing is that you have to read otherwise in connection with what goes before it, meaning altering or destroying documents, so that the provision is like what otherwise means is if there's a different way of screwing around with documents, that's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about like anything you can imagine that might interfere with the proceeding. So that's what the case comes down to. And the point that Justice Gorsuch was making, which Alito was also, I think I listened to this for the first hour. I thought he was the first one to be very strong on this. He basically said, what's the limiting principle?
Right.
You know, what is, and if you're going to have this thing where it's just a standalone and anything you do to impede a proceeding, then why isn't Bowman prosecuted? Why aren't people who were in front of the Supreme Court saying, you know, I'm telling you, Kavanaugh, I'm telling you, Gorsuch, you know, why aren't those guys being prosecuted? If it's anything that can impede a proceeding, how is it that the Justice Department manages only to prosecute the January 6th people? And I'm not carrying a brief for those guys, but you know, we had a courthouse in Portland and it wasn't a 3.5 hour riot. It went on for weeks where they were firebombing the place and they had rioters and we watched it day after day after day, right? They couldn't conduct proceedings in the courthouse and it actually got violent and there was firebombing and all that stuff. Nothing from, it's a federal courthouse in Portland.
It's an excellent point. My friend, always a pleasure. Last thing I got to say is I know you're a Mets fan. My son, as he's playing Little League, his team he's been assigned is the Mets, not the Phillies, and my heart is breaking.
Well, you know, look, from your standpoint, this is a good way for the kid to get it out of his system now. You know, if he only has to wear a Mets uniform for a year, then, you know, he'll probably recover from it, whereas he could end up like me, and my life is destroyed. You know, so just look at it. It's a character building experience.
That which doesn't kill us makes us stronger.
I'm testing that theory every year, every season.
Andy McCarthy, I appreciate it, my friend. We'll post a link to your latest pieces at nationalreview.com. Thank you.
Thanks, Rich.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. When it comes to your home, protection and peace of mind are paramount. That's why Emmons Roofing and Siding is your go-to contractor for roofing, siding, and windows. Your home will not only look stunning from the curb, but will also be energy efficient, secure, and ready to withstand the elements. With Emmons, you know you are getting top quality materials and the finest craftsmanship in the area. So whether it's a durable lifetime warranted Owens Corning roof that stands up to severe weather, siding that keeps your home insulated and looking sharp, or new windows that blend functionality with style, Emmons has you covered. And because my friends Stephanie and Matt, and they are my friends, they were over my house for dinner Friday night. their son Mason, hanging out with Patrick. They were playing Minecraft together. Had a great time. They know times are tough for a lot of us, so they are offering each and every one of my listeners an inflation relief discount of 10% off roofing, 10% off siding, and 10% off Anderson window replacement. Don't wait. Call Emmons today at 856-885-6677 or check out their website at emmonsroofing.com. Upgrade your home with confidence today with Emmons Roofing and Siding. Make sure you tell them I sent you. I've been using these guys for years, and they've become really dear friends of mine, and they serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware, and the Jersey Shore, and they just replaced two doors for me and four skylights. And they're going to do more work for us going forward. EmmonsRoofing.com, EmmonsRoofing.com.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
You know, some of the comments that were made today were excellent comments, and I really appreciate Andy's time. You know, the question here of why the double standard, and this is something that you go back to January 6, 2021, and on January 7th, we all started saying to ourselves, all right, this happened, you know, not good. People were frustrated. People were fired up. And I'm sure the government's going to use this as another excuse to weaponize its powers against us. And time goes on and people start asking, why is it that the people were not prosecuted for all those other things that happened during the summer of love? You know, why the double standard of justice, which Andy brought up with the courthouse in Portland, Oregon, which went on for weeks, firebombing it, for example, and billions of dollars of damage to our nation by so-called mostly peaceful protesters after George Floyd's death. And you see, it's this double standard of justice that infuriates people. And it's this double standard of justice with people like Jamal Bowman pulling the fire alarm. Here's Justice Neil Gorsuch today during the oral arguments to the U.S. Solicitor General Elizabeth Perloger. Cut seven.
I understand
and
that.
And I would just say that,
if I might. So what does that mean for the breadth of this statute? Would a sit-in that disrupts a trial or access to a federal courthouse qualify? Would a heckler in today's audience qualify or at the State of the Union address? Would pulling a fire alarm before a vote qualify? For 20 years in federal prison?
There are multiple elements of the statute that I think might not be satisfied by those hypotheticals, and it relates to the point I was going to make to the Chief Justice about the breadth of this statute. The kind of built-in limitations are the things that I think would potentially suggest that many of those things wouldn't be something the government could charge or prove as 1512C2 beyond a reasonable doubt, would include the fact that the actus reus does require obstruction, which we understand to be a meaningful interference. So that means that if you have some minor disruption or delay or some minimal outburst,
okay,
we don't think it falls within the actus reus.
My outbursts
to begin with
require the court to reconvene after the proceeding has been brought back into line, or the pulling of the fire alarm, the vote has to be rescheduled, or the protest outside of a courthouse makes it inaccessible for a period of time. Are those all federal felonies subject to 20 years in prison?
So with some of them, it would be necessary to show nexus. So with respect to the protest outside
assume,
the courthouse, we'd
can,
have to show
I
that,
think,
yes, they were aiming
I've
at
shown,
the proceeding.
Yeah, they were trying to stop the proceeding.
Yes, and then we'd also have to be able to prove that they acted corruptly. And this sets a stringent mens rea. It's not even just the mere intent to obstruct. We have to show that also. But we have to show that they had corrupt intent in acting in that way.
We and went around that tree yesterday.
I know.
Now, Justice Alito picked up on that point. And again, this is about the limiting principle here. The limiting principle of how we can keep the government from going after everybody for every little thing. Before I do that, let me play Clarence Thomas, who brings up all the protesters on the left, why they were not charged with this. Take a listen.
General, there have been many violent protests that have interfered with proceedings. As the government applied this provision to other protests in the past, and has this been the government's position throughout the lifespan of the statute?
It has certainly been the government's position since the enactment of 1512C2 that it covers the myriad forms of obstructing an official proceeding and that it's not limited to some kind of evidence impairment gloss.
Have you enforced it in that manner?
We have enforced it in a variety of prosecutions that don't focus on evidence tampering. Now, I can't give you an example of enforcing it in a situation where people have violently stormed a building in order to prevent an official proceeding, a specified one, from occurring with all of the elements like intent to obstruct, knowledge of the proceeding, having the corruptly mens rea, but that's just because I'm not aware of that circumstance ever happening prior to January 6th. But just to give you a flavor of some of the other circumstances where we have prosecuted under this provision, for example, there are situations where we've brought C2 charges because someone tipped off the subject of an investigation to the grand jury's hearings. There was another case where someone tipped off about the identity of an undercover law enforcement officer. And in those situations, there's no specific evidence, no concrete testimony or physical evidence that the conduct is interfering with. Instead, it's more general obstruction of the proceeding. Justice Alito mentioned the Wright case as well, and that's another one where it was a forged court order that prompted the litigant to dismiss a mandamus petition, but that didn't have anything to do with the evidence that was going to be considered in that proceeding.
So what role does C1 play in your analysis?
Now, none of those examples that she gave had anything to do with people protesting and stopping a proceeding from going on. Think about that. Think about that. All right, we got more to say on this, but Dr. Victoria Coates is going to join me as we talk about what's going on with Iran and Israel. I just think it's ridiculous that the government's using Sarbanes-Oxley in this manner. I really do. But look, I'm in a good mood. I'm filling in for Mark Levin tonight, and I'm really excited because in a couple weeks, we're going to be live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And listen, if you want to de-stress, enjoy life, take in the ocean air, make lifetime memories with your family and friends, then you should book a getaway at my happy place, the beautiful Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Book a June midweek stay and save. Stay three nights, you're going to get $60 a night in resort credits. Five nights get you $70 a night. Seven nights get you $80 a night. You could use it for food and drink purchases in Hemingway's restaurant, the outdoor pool bar, beach concession stand, and so much more. And you'll love the Grand Hotel. And we're going to be there Friday, May 3rd, but also Friday, June 21st. So you could book a midweek stay that week and then watch the show on Friday. Great way to do it. Always book direct with them for the best rates. Call 800-257-8550, 800-257-8550, or visit them online at grandhotelcapemay.com. And book your stay today. Always book direct with them for the best rates. My happy place, and I'll see you on Friday, May 3rd, grandhotelcapemay.com.
Rich Cioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.